There we go. 1 Peter, the first chapter, this is why I requested this song to be sang this morning. Redeemed, because we're going to be looking at that. 1 Peter chapter 1, we have made our way all the way to verse 17. For those who have been following us in 1 Peter, can you imagine we're that far already? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was foreordained. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Lord, we just thank you for your precious word. As we look into it, would your Spirit give us insight, understanding, help us to know not only that which we can know, but your Spirit can touch us in the depths of our hearts, because our lives are all different as to what this looks like and how this lives. Lord, we pray again for our country, for those over us in authority. We just continue to pray, knowing that you are on the throne. Lord, your will be done. You're in control. Help us to find our security in you. But we do pray for them, that there would be things that are accomplished according to the will of God, whether they realize it or not. Lord, we thank you for the word from the Wiggins, and continue to pray that you would bless them even as they travel and give them safety in flights and connections and strength for their bodies. And Lord, for those who are over there who are hurting, we pray that you would minister to them. Your mercy and grace. Help those who love you and are coming in Jesus' name to have the strength to share a physical aid and assistance. And also that they're there because of the love of God. Lord, do you work in our lives, in our hearts, as we pause before your word? Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. In difficult times. Peter, writing to maybe very small groups of Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, that have been scattered all over the area. In difficult times, what is certain? What can you be certain about? What can you be sure of? Loyalty of friends? I hope so. Government? Don't count on it. Family members? I hope so. The church? I hope so. What can you be certain of? Peter's already listed off a couple of things leading up to this passage that were to be of help to these isolated followers of Jesus who were in a context where it wasn't church of your pick down the street. There was Roman gods, and you could always worship the current emperor, or you had the entire Greek cornucopia of gods and goddesses, take your pick, whoever you wanted to sacrifice to for whatever reason. And into that kind of extremely religious and at the same time highly immoral, and yes, with those who believed nothing, highly atheistic people, there's these individuals coming that are sharing about this man, Jesus Christ, who came and died and rose again, and who is the true God above any and everything else that you could think of as God. Unique. So, in that kind of atmosphere, he's already referred to salvation. A definite Bible word, salvation. And he's referred to in verse 13, grace. And now he speaks of another thing of which a follower of Jesus can be certain of. Redemption. I want to look at it in context. Back in verse 13, after all this wonderful encouragement, he says then, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully. As we looked at it last week, it's basically the loins of your mind, think, don't lose your head. So, now, why would he say, in light of all this, therefore, think carefully? I don't know how you do under pressure, whether it's work or someplace else. How you do under pressure. In some things, I don't do too well under times of pressure. But he said to you Christians out there, when it's like you're just maybe by yourself, or maybe there's just a couple of you, you will have pressure. And so think carefully. Don't lose your head in all this. It's a great thing to do. And then he gives reasons, because Jesus will come again, because verse 14, we're not what we used to be. Like it's expressed in the song, we're not what we used to be, former. Verse 15, we've been called to be different, like Jesus Christ was different in a great sense, completely to God. So we come to, oh, by the way, don't let, verse 16, don't let holy, be holy, weigh you down. Because as we looked at last week, the most holy, holy person in the entire Bible was Jesus Christ himself. And he was completely spiritual. He was entirely normal. And he was extremely natural. And he's holy. So don't let holy weigh you down, because in the next verse it connects. Because the one who is holy, verse 17, is also your Father. And if you call on the Father, and I hope you do, call on the Father. Pray, whatever you want to call it. Call. If you call on, but he's your Father. If you call on the Father, the one who's holy, who's totally unbiased, without partiality, judges according to each one's work, then conduct yourselves in fear in your life here. Fear that in the end, I will be standing before God. I will be answering to him. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in what? Yeah, so be careful. And be careful, little feet, where you go. Because the Father up above is looking down in... And be careful, little mouth, what you... And be careful, little ears, what you... And there ought to be plaques of that in certain businesses. So you enter in. So it's like, okay, this is a gossip-free zone. This is a bad image-free zone. Living in fear. So don't let fear become heavy, because he says the Father who impartially judges each one, even as Christians, will be judged, not for salvation, but because how did I live my life as a follower of Jesus Christ? I will not be judged for what you do. You will not be judged for what I do. You should be happy about that. I will be judged for myself. You will be judged for yourself. Now, part of the judgment for me is I will be judged for what I do to you and how I am to you. And you will be judged for what you do to me and how you are to me and others. Because that's all part of the package of our whole lives of existence. We just don't go through life thinking thoughts. We go through thinking thoughts and interacting with people in different ways. Fear, so, is not bad. It's not bad. It's healthy. You're living your life here in fear. I have a fear. There are some snakes I am incredibly afraid of. I do not like to be in their company. There are drugs I am afraid of. There are certain kinds of people I am... Oh, yeah, so if I was in a setting, like say in a city, it's dark at night, I have to go from here to there, I'm having to walk, I see a certain crowd of people coming to me, they're dressed in a certain way, they're behaving a certain way, and it's late at night, and it's like, will I cross the street to walk on the other side rather than have to go through this? Sure. As somebody asked, so late at night, in a late night in Chicago, and you're having to go, and this group of, let's say, African Americans are coming your way, and it's late at night, and you're just by yourself. Would you rather have them just come out of a bar or a Bible study? Okay, I want to put it in perspective. Bible study. So, there's a healthy type of fear. Fear, I don't want to do what then is displeasing to God. So in this, he says, verse 18, in all this thinking that's going on, knowing, verse 18, remember, understand, keep in mind that. I'll just race through this. This is another one of these packed passages. Remember, know, keep in mind, verse 18, redeemed. Redeemed. Now, redeemed, purchase with the payment of a price. Okay, in olden times, in those kind of olden times, one army goes out to fight another. One army wins. What do they do with the others? If they're nice, they'll let them go home. But you might need to not do that because they might gather forces again and come back and become more trouble to you. So you might handpick out the best, the brightest, and definitely the strongest, and you're taking them home as slaves. So that who's going back to whatever country they go to are just your weaklings, your wimps, and all those. So you're taking them as slaves back home. You're the conquerors. So you take them back home and your household slaves, you can't afford food for another one. So what do? You take them down to the market, to sell them. Common practice. And people buy them. Pay good money for them. And then sometimes, later on, all things depending, there have been those who have been bought and then freed, redeemed, to purchase with the payment of a price. Purchased. Redeem. So what does Peter say? Excuse me. About this redemption. While you were redeemed, well, it's understood. Redeemed from what? Short answer, sin. But Peter has already given us four categories of sin. Verse 14, lust, a moral category. Verse 14, ignorance, a mental or intellectual category. Verse 17 or 18, conduct, behavioral category. And then verse 18, tradition, or a religious category of sin. Doesn't matter how it's expressed. Moral, intellectual, behavioral, or even religious. And of that religious, in verse 18, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Aimless is empty, of no value. So for the things that you think in your life, if you've been religious and think, well, these things will earn me favor with God, or at least a smile, or at least his approval. Peter says it's not the case. Because he says in verse 18, it's not redeemed that way. By the way, English Puritan Thomas Watson writes, great was the work of creation, but greater the work of redemption. It cost more to redeem us than to make us. In one there was but the speaking of the word. In the other there was the shedding of blood. The creation is but the work of God's fingers. Redemption is the work of his arm. I like that. It took more. So redeemed. How? Verse 19 is central. Redeemed. Now, so, not redeemed with corruptible things, verse 18, like silver, gold, things that will eventually wear out. It's one of the flavors of the word corruptible, that will perish. But, you can put in verse 19, you were redeemed with. And it's the precious blood of Christ. Precious. So take that away out of your Lord of the Rings category. My precious. To mean priceless. Okay? Pictures of the kids. Cost of the trip, $1,000. This, eating out, $100. Kids, priceless. 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 Blood of Christ. You were redeemed with the priceless blood of Christ. And then you look at closely at verse 19, and you, in your mind's eye, you hearken all the way back to the book of Exodus, when Moses was brought by God to the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt, as the agent to bring them out of slavery. Remember? The final, you get the lamb, the without spot, without blemish, the best little lamb you have, and it goes in and I'm not sure if it's 7 days or 10 days, you keep it inside your household, and the little kids just get attached to it. And they go, lamb. And then at the right time, the lamb is slain, because its blood is going on the outside door. And as one writer said, so yeah, with that hyssop, that leafy branchy branch there where you dip it into the blood, and he said, if I was a father, I'd be going out, slop the top of the door, slop the side, make sure that the angel of death, when he comes through and passes through the land of Egypt, will not have to adjust his contacts to see that there's blood on the door of this house, because my firstborn is inside. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Right? Out of the book of Exodus. Bring you out of slavery. But what did it take? That cute little lamb to be killed. And its blood. Verse 19. As of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. What about Christ? What about Christ Jesus that makes his blood priceless? And then he explains why. He goes on to explain. Thank you, Peter. Verse 20. He says of Christ Jesus, foreordained before the foundation of the world, manifest in these last times. Verse 21. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory. So your faith and hope are in God. And of course, blood. There it is, about five or six words, the whole life of Jesus Christ. Foreordained before the foundation of the earth, before creation, in the heart and mind of God, that Jesus was going to come from heaven to earth. Deity, deity. But he came incarnate. He was revealed, manifest, 20. He was manifest. He appeared incarnate. Christmas time, just around the corner, incarnation. God in flesh. And then after that, his blood, crucifixion. But then after that, it says, raised, verse 21, and glory, resurrection. Raised. And then who gave him glory? Ascension, exaltation. It's all right there. Deity. Incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, exaltation. And so the one who's exalted now, who sits at the right hand of God, is the same Jesus Christ who walked the face of the earth, but we wouldn't come near him right now because he is in his exalted glory, and God gave him glory. Even though he's the same. So there, why is his blood priceless? Because of who he is. Why? Why was the Lamb crucified? Why all of this? In the last two words of verse 20, why all of this? And this reaches to the heart. Two words at the end of verse 20, depending on your translation. My translation has, for you. For you. Isn't that great? Who was manifest in these last times for you. And then he says about you, us, number one, to believe in God, and number two, end of verse 21, or later on, to have faith and hope in God. He's using different words for different reasons, to put your trust into, to have faith, but it's more than just intellectual mental agreement. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Sign on the bottom line. Okay, but it's more than that. Faith and hope are in God. No, I have a hope in God as well as a belief in God. I have an expectation which he's already written about. I'm looking forward to, based on what he did for me and what he said, that he's now, when I turned from my sin and selfishness and put myself in submission under him, he forgave me and gave me a new life, which begins now, but I have an expectation. I have a hope. I have a hope. For you. So when things are difficult, when things are pressure, especially because of just trying to, in your workplace or environment or neighborhood, just try to take some kind of stand for Jesus Christ. And it can be as simple as, I don't know, so many things, people telling off-color jokes, and or it's probably the name of Jesus Christ, just taken loosely, taken in vain, something like that, and you're just not smiling. Why aren't you smiling, bro? Well, you know, the one you just mentioned, he's just done so much for me and changed my life. So I know you're using it in a way you don't know, but okay. Pressure, when it's hard, remember, as Peter would say here, that you have someone who loved you enough to give his blood for you. Redemption. You have someone who loved you enough. Closer than a brother. Robert Coleman of Asbury College in Kentucky wrote a book a number of years back, Written in Blood. True story, little boy and his little sister. The boy had a dread disease and been delivered from death, and so he developed an immunity. But his sister got the same thing later, and she did not. Physician, realizing she needed a transfusion of his blood to help her, and a fair amount, called the boy aside with the parents there and talked to him and said, if he would be willing to let them take of his blood and give to his sister. So the writer says, in the story, he looked out the window and he just got the strangest look over his face. Said nothing. And then looked back and said, I'll do it. So they took the brother and sister immediately into a room, went through the whole process to do a direct transfusion. And in a matter of moments, as they observed the girl, skin color started to change. It was almost like a miracle was happening there. Life to her body. And after a while, the doctor came in, and the little boy looked up and asked the doctor, innocently, when do I die? When do I die? Because that's what he understood of transfusion. It will be my blood to my sister. And if that goes, I won't have any left. And he said, I'll do it. And you have someone who is, as it says in Proverbs, is closer than a brother. And so it's not as if Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood. Even when the Roman soldier came, I mean, the nails, the spikes, everything else after it all. And with the spear into the side, blood and water coming out together, draining away. For Jesus on the cross said, I'll do it. It's redemption. Amazing redemption. So if you haven't put your, as he said, he did this for you. So if you haven't put your belief, your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, you can. Just, Lord Jesus, the pastor mentioned about sin already, all these kind of categories. We do sin. I sin. We sin. But that you died on the cross to take care of that and shed your blood so that I could be redeemed. And just from your heart, bow and surrender to Him. Thank you, Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Master. No one's ever loved you like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We haven't done justice. This is such a rich truth to think about. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, precious Lamb, John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, pointing to Jesus Christ. So Lord, I pray for those who have been redeemed. Help us just to be encouraged again as we remember, knowing as we keep in mind with gratitude what you did for us. And then, Lord, with any here who just may not be sure, speak to their hearts by your Spirit that they will be. If there's any here, I'd love to talk with you or with someone else that you would talk to who you know as much as you can tell truly knows Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but who knows Him. Lord, speak to those hearts too. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We were slaves. We were in bondage. We were in darkness. You redeemed us. Precious, priceless blood of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymn.